Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Bikaji Foods International Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Hazel Rathod. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us for Bikaji Foods International Quarter 4 and FY25 earnings conference call. From the management, we have with us Mr. Rishabh Jain, CFO, and Mr. Manoj Verma, COO. I now request Mr. Rishabh Jain to take us through the key opening remarks, after which we can open the floor for the question and answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Hazel, and thank you all the investors to join the Quarter 4 and yearly conference call. So last this year, FY25 has been a year of lot of challenges and lot of corrections internally. So a major focus in FY25 was to set an internal house right, be it setting up right process on the card, bringing right people on our bus for a growth journey, setting and tuning all the manufacturing facilities, doing lot of correction in distribution, as well as settling sales organization in the right manner like proper FMCG company. Also, we did a lot of investment in technology, like we started implementation of SAP and Darwin box for a security organization. Also, we did a lot of experiment with few acquisitions and adding few additional categories. So quarter three was a quarter where there were a lot of challenges, be it inflationary pressure across all key raw materials and especially edible oil. Western snacks like potato crop has been delayed and price has been very high to risk for production last year, early Diwali. So quarter three was a quarter of challenge, and when we take quarter four, so there are a lot of significant improvement be it in top line as well as in bottom line. When we see gross margin, there was significant uptick in gross margin when we see compared to quarter three. Our quarter three gross margin on a standalone basis is close to 30.2%, where quarter three was close to 26%, and at a control level, our GM is close to 31.8% quarter four. And at a full year, we done at a control level gross margin 30.7%. This year, the company has delivered close to 10.3% volume growth and 14.8% value growth, driven by strong demand across our core product lines. So market length, so basically overall revenue, so revenue has grown 14.8% on YOY and 14.6% year on year. Volume growth quarter four was close to 8.9% and full year was 10.3%. I'll hand it over to Manoji on business.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. So the volume growth for the quarter has been 8.9%. Revenue growth for quarter, if we look at it, is 14.8%. But when we say, and this is net of PLI, when we add PLI to it, so it was in last year, quarter four, we added PLI for three years. And that's what is the reason that when we add PLI, it looks as flat. Otherwise, it's a 14.8% revenue growth for quarter four. Ethnic snack category, our core category, has delivered a value growth of 11.4% in quarter four. Packet sweets, on the back of the less number of wedding days, because this is highly dependent on the season, wedding season, it's a negative growth of 1.4%. However, it would be wise to look at a full year number, which I'll talk later. Western snacks, after quarter three, where we witnessed the negative growth, and this is what we explained to you all, that was a deliberate call in terms of holding our production, holding sales, not a demand issue. And as we had said, numbers talk about it, that in quarter four, we came back at a 21.5% growth. Papad, 5% growth for the quarter, but then this is on our peak capacity. So, relevant data point would be even more if we look at on a full year basis. So full year volume growth of 10.5%, revenue growth of 12.6%, this is including PLI, net of PLI is 14.6% growth. Ethnic snacks has grown on at 12%. Packaged sweets overall full year is a 13.2% growth. Western snacks on the back of a huge negative growth in quarter three, but at the full year level is a 17.7% growth. Papad at close to 12% growth on a full year basis. Talking about how we look at our markets, so the core markets have on a quarter basis have grown at 10.1%. Focus states grown at 38.6%, other states 12.5%, and the export growth has been 29.4% in this quarter. However, at an annual level, when we talk about the core states growth is 11.6%, focus at 26.2%, other states 15% plus, and the export is at 22.5% growth. We've been reading and hearing that the growth is high on the impulse pack, but for us, by investing behind our marketing plans and marketing campaign, which we also spoke in the last quarter, that was about Bikaji Khao London Jao, focus more on the large pack, help us deliver a higher growth in the family pack, which has grown at 13.8%, whereas the impulse pack is at 9.3% growth in the quarter. At a full year level, family pack has grown at close to 16% and impulse pack at 10.5%. In terms of our reach, if we speak about, so as we got into this financial year, we spoke about that we will, the target what we took was to cross 3 lakh mark in our direct coverage. So glad to inform that we have bypassed our numbers. The team has done a good job in terms of and a consistent improvement in our directory, and we have ended the year at 3.11 lakh outlets. When we speak about indirect reach, that is, so this reflects or translates into indirect reach, which is now upwards of 12 lakh outlets. That's where Bikaji has been present in this year.
So from revenue perspective, so we've grown at 14.8%. When revenue from operation looks flat, but yeah, other than PLI, it's 14.8%. Even from EBITDA perspective, basically quarter three was an exception. So quarter four again we came at close to 11.2% EBITDA on standalone basis, and the control is close to 10% EBITDA. So from raw material lens, what we've seen and what we explained last time that this year, all the purchases have been in a good favor. Like wheat or the key crops, the what we purchase are at a very low, lowest price, which has supported us to improve our gross margin. And also we've taken few price hikes back to back in quarter three and quarter four, which has helped us in getting a gross margin back to close to 31%. So that's part from the presentation. We are happy to take all the answers, questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abneesh Roy from Nuvama. Please go ahead. We seem to have lost Mr. Abneesh's line. The next question is from the line of Nitin. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on our reported volume growth at 8.9%. And if we take around 10% organic business growth, we get to 1% realization growth. In Q3, we had 3% volume and 8% sort of organic value growth. So there is a 5% realization growth in Q3. So that growth has come down to 1% in Q4. So can you help me explain this?
Can you again repeat, please?
No, I'm referring to your Q3 and Q4 performance. So for the organic business, so for my calculation, this quarter we have done around 8.9% volume growth and around 10% organic business growth. So there is a gap of 1%, which is largely a realization growth. Same if I compare with Q3, it was around 3% volume growth and around 8% organic value growth. So there was a gap of 5%. So this 5% coming down to 1%, I'm unable to figure out what led to this.
Our control growth is close to 14.6%, right? And volume growth is also control level is 8.9%, right? So if you look at 14.8%, it's close to 4.5%.
I basically wanted to take away the M&A part, Ariba and the hazelnut from the financial and wanted to analyze.
So basically, volume growth without at standalone is close to 7.5%. And also, one thing from last year, in this quarter, we not added that quarter four of last year, was full of promo pack versus last year there is no promo pack. So realization also changed this year and product mix also changed. But overall when realization is improvement, so it's close to 3.5% by realization gap.
Okay.
Thank you. So this is what we have explained on the last call as well, that while you know it's looking at 3% growth, but if you look at revenue growth was in line of 8%. Now this quarter there was very little impact of a consumer offer 10% extra which was there in the earlier year.
Okay, so bulk of the promotion was in Q3 in the base quarter and Q4 had the less effect of that. Okay.
Yeah, so it was leading up in quarter 4.
Okay, thank you. Second question is concerning gross margin ahead. So with palm oil prices now below September, have seen a correction of, say, like the gap from September 24 is around 17% on a YOY Malaysian ringgit, and the duty hike was 22%. So, like, we seems to getting in a favorable zone, like we have effective price hikes also. So, how do you see the margin outlook ahead in FY26?
If you talk only about edible oil, palm oil basically, so the peak of palm oil was close to 137. In lot of correction, it's reduced 13-14 rupees, but yeah, largely it's 125-110. We will see that there is a little softening in coming quarters. It will be at 120-121, but we don't see that it will go beyond this. So 120 will be a new normal, that's what as an industry we expect from India, from palm oil perspective. But yeah, overall DCA crop has been very supporting, and the DCA crop is rain, its monsoon is good. So what we see that overall position gross margin and EBITDA lens, this is even affect 25-26 lens. We want to get our original gross margin by quarter 2. That's what we have told last quarter. And we are on track. Like this year, at standalone level, we are close to 31.8% GM in quarter 4. And that's, and our target was 32.5%. So we are on track to achieve that.
Okay, thank you. And last thing, can you please help me update, like, what is the cumulative price hike we have effected in Q3 and Q4?
So in Q3 and Q4, price hike was, because it was a mix of product mix, and also there are a lot of changes in impulse specs. So overall, at the average level, the price hike is close to 2.5%. We are taking one price hike in April, so in quarter 3, quarter 4, it's close to 2.5%.
2.5% you are saying, and this includes the price hike we have effected post duty increases, or it's excluding that?
It was in quarter 3, right? So quarter 3 and quarter 4 combined, we have taken price hike average of 2-2.5%. That's the average. In Q1, obviously.
I didn't get you for Q1, your voice dropped.
So in Q1 of this year, we have taken some price hike.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for the update.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Percy Panthaki from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, just some confusion on this topic. So if you can just tell us on a consolidated basis, what is the organic sales growth this quarter?
So at consolidated level, the organic sales growth is close to 14.8% in this quarter, at consolidated level.
So there is no inorganic element at all, is it? Because that is the growth that you have reported anyways.
So at standalone level, our top line is growing 11.3% in this quarter, and at consolidated level, our top line is growing 14.8%.
And the difference between standalone and console, what are the businesses which come between the two?
So basically, one is THF, the SNS factory which we acquired, which we had taken actually in end of last quarter, quarter 3, then other one is Ariba. And
Hazelnut factory is an associate, right? So you would not be consolidating the sales, right?
We have right to merge that, and we have right to merge that, because in India, we need to merge into our overall financial.
Okay, so you are, the consolidated sales does include the sales of Hazelnut factory.
It's very small currently. The top line of overall.
Well, I can't hear you.
It's very small as of now. The yearly top line of Hazelnut is close to 55-60 crores. At the yearly level, we acquired in last quarter 3, last year, October, November, and quarter 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I look at organic sales at 11.3, it is lower than the usual 16-17% growth that we used to clock at a few quarters ago. So what is the reason for this lower growth? Is it just a general sort of industry slowdown or is there some other reason behind it?
So I think it's a mix of both, Percy. So now when we start the year in two parts, so it's got the first half and second half. So first half was well on track, now close to 16% growth. Quarter 3 was the year, was the quarter, which has actually slowed down both from the external factors and the internal consumption factors as well. So one was inflation, so all that stuff, the overall demand. And the second was that we could not supply because of those, like, you know, what I was talking about, that we witnessed almost about 15-20% negative growth on our Western snack, which was 8% contribution to our overall business kind of work. So those were the factors which brought it down. If we look at, you know, the upward movement in quarter four, it's by far, you know, up, and it's on a upward movement. So to your answer, yes, the 11.5% is little muted growth vis-a-vis the growth what we have been doing, but that also reflects the overall category growth also in my thing.
So is there any visibility on the category growth improving in the near term, or that we will have to wait for that?
See, this is a dynamic stuff, but what we read, see and witness in the market, both from demand standpoint and also, you know, when talking to these people, so objectively and subjectively, so we think that this quarter four onwards shows a positive movement. Urban in quarter 3 and till first half of quarter 4 was pretty stressed, and urban also, when I say 33% of urban is the metro town, which actually was flat or has degrown in terms of consumption. This is overall food industry I'm talking about. Whereas tier 1 and tier 2 town were doing better, but now there's an upward movement across. So going forward, what we see, looking at crop, looking at a lot of corrective action, looking at the infusion what government has done, I think this should only look up. So the work is behind us, that's how we look at it.
So this upward movement, is it already visible on the ground to you right now, or it's a sort of something that you are expecting will come in the near future?
No, so that's what I'm saying. So we compare over quarter 3, so all metrics are up and far ahead of what it was in quarter 3. So which is an indication of that stuff. Also, see, one is that you depend only on external factors. Secondly, what we can do, so circle of influence, what we call it, says, so there's a lot of readiness and of preparedness in terms of the marketing campaign, in terms of, you know, the product mix, the pricing and all. So as we take on, so our end objective is to grow ahead of the category. And these external factors as well. So both ways, from macro factors, we see that there's a positivity, it should be upward movement, and internally also, so how to fight against this, that readiness also gives this confidence, and that's what we are doing.
Just a clarification on this, sir. You mentioned that Q4 you have seen better momentum versus Q3, but on organic basis the sales growth is roughly the same, which is 12% in Q3 and 11.5% in Q4.
So 12% in Q3. So if you say standalone basis, it was close to 6%.
Okay. Got it. Second question is on the focus state. Sorry.
So it's just 6 to 11.5 for the three.
Got it. Just on the focus states, this 36% growth that we have seen, is there an inorganic component to that as well? And if you can break that out, if so.
Yeah. So like what Krishan spoke about, that the state of the resilience factory, which primarily is in this UP state. So that is. Otherwise, it would be, say, upwards of 22% kind of first half.
22%. Okay, sir. That's all from me. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Anand Shah from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I think thanks for the opportunity. I mean, can you call out how much CHF and Ariba done, let's say, in the second half and for FY25, at least on an annualized basis? What run rate is it clocking, and what is sort of the ambition for FY26?
So THF and Ariba, so THF basically has given close to 11-12 crore rupees in quarter 4, and Ariba close to 7-7.5 crores. That's a mix overall from THF and Ariba in quarter 4. However, from outlook lens, what we see that THF can do close to 90 crore of business in this FY26. FY26, and Ariba can do close to 50 crore rupees. So that's the target what this both brand has taken in this FY26.
Okay, got it. Coming okay. 18 crore came from these two brands, and okay, got it.
Yeah.
Well, and on the margin side, would this be at similar margins to the business, or how does that stack up?
So from THF lens, so it's a retail, and retail quarter 3 is the highest profitable business. Ariba is not making money as of now because it's running at low utilization, but very small.
And Ariba will largely be for the back end and the frozen part, right?
That's the addition of category for us.
Got it. So that eventually is not more revenue generator, but that will more feed into your QSR addition effectively.
Right.
Got it.
QSR as well as export, because an export frozen part is very big.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. And on distribution expansion, I mean, you've been talking steady growth. So what is the target there? I mean, for 26, 27, let's say, will you continue to add 20% plus outlets?
So our expansion would be a continued initiative, because today we are at about 11-12% numeric distribution at a pan-India level. So there's a huge room of growth, but it's the approach, what we are saying is that we will do a quality distribution increase, which eventually should reflect in the Nielsen or say the weak stuff as well. So this year the target what we had taken last year was to cross 3 lakh direct coverage mark. Whereas we ended it at 3.11 lakh outlets, that's the final number which it is. Our plan is to add 50,000 year-on-year outlets, that's the target for next 3 years. So we would be, you know, reaching around 4.5 lakh outlets directly in next 3 years.
Got the 15% compounding at least on the distribution side. And most of this would be focus markets.
So primarily focus market, but yes, there is little room in the focus in the core market as well. So that would be a defense strategy, so as how to uproot or how to take head on with the local and the regional players as well. So in the rural of core market is what our focus would be, whereas in the focus market it will be primarily urban followed by rural.
Got it, very clear. And lastly, I mean, 2-2.5 is the pricing you are taking in Q3, Q4, and you took 1 in April, right? I mean, what was the quantum of in April?
In quarter 1?
Yes, in Q1, yes.
So quarter one is close to 0.5%, half a percent.
Fine, only small one. And so right now, now no plans. I mean, you are largely covered with.
Right now, Right now, I think we are done with the with all the increase in price, and we are hopeful that by this we will be, and there will be a lot of product mix and cooperation cost and program running on. So we'll be hopeful that with this we'll be back on track with our original margin and GM and EBITDA.
And that you are saying second half FY26 is broadly well.
Yes.
Perfect. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshit Vora from Asit C. Mehta Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible.
Yeah. So, thank you for giving me the opportunity. My question was on focus states. So, we've been seeing good growth in focus states when compared to core states. And we're also seeing, increase in family pack salience of about 100 basis points year on year. So what is it that we're doing that is driving this increase, in salience? And also that do you expect it to sustain going forward, especially in the focus market?
Yeah. So I'll take your last question first. So yes, we would continue to grow focus states faster than the core states for two reasons. One is that their bases are not as big as what we are in core states. So that's one reason. Second thing is the kind of the efforts what we are making, the investments what we are making, they have to give us a disproportionate result. So that's the reason that these focus states would continue to grow faster. That's one. Large pack and small pack, for us, large pack is equally important, and that's what is one of our forte or the brand strength, that in-home consumption, modern trade, equity, we enjoy more. However, what we see is that the small pack is an opportunity for us. So therefore, the focus would be on driving both these packs, the large pack and the small pack.
So my question actually was towards understanding that despite increase in focus states higher than core states, we are seeing more salience in family packs. So what kind of is driving that thing?
Two, three things. One is that when we say, today also if you look at in focus states, our market share when we look at just for the large pack is by far high. So in the stores where we are selling, so it is more so the distribution is an area of improvement, whereas the store where we are selling large packs, what they are selling is doing good. So therefore, there is a same store growth also happening, which is basis the large pack. That's one. Second is modern trade and new age, or the new age is the QCOM growth, is on the back of large pack. That's the factor which is doing good. Lastly, the promotional campaign, what we do, and mostly what you can really address is on the large pack. Like last year, four months, we did a mega campaign, which is Bikaji London Jao. This was all on the large pack itself. So those are the factors which is helping these large pack grow in focus states and overall also. Like other states, if you look at the major contribution is the large pack. It's less of distribution. It is more on leveraging the modern trade stores across states.
All right. Okay, that's great.
But going forward, you will see that as we get distribution high, so small pack will also be growing faster. So that's where. So we are not taking eyes off from the small pack. They have a role to play.
All right. So we expect the overall breakup to remain largely the way it is right now, with both growing equally.
Yeah. So going forward, you will see that the small pack will grow a little faster. That's what the strategies and the initiatives which are rolling out are the ones, because that's how we will gain new outlets. Indirect reach will not be on account of large pack. It will be a small pack will be playing the role.
All right. Okay. But then because of that, would it bring some kind of volatility in terms of volume growth that we see or, in margins as well?
Not really. Not really. Yeah.
All right. Thanks. That's great. And secondly, we've been seeing slight decline in packet sweets, and you alluded to the fact that, there was weakness in the wedding season the last quarter and before that. So, apart from this, any other reason that is playing into this declining package lead growth?
No. I think the right way to look at it is at a full year number. That's one right number to look at. Secondly, the key suite, if you look at, is a key about, say, 75% of our business happens between Rakhi to Diwali. So that is 4 months contribute to about 70-75% of suite business, which is really, really big. And that's where, if you look at our capacity utilization, is upwards of 100% kind of on the suite stuff, right? Quarter four and the rest, so quarter one and quarter four are the weak quarters on that stuff. And then they are highly dependent on the sweet season. The wedding season, because that's when we sell bulk sweets as well. Now, if we look at, you know, the number of salas, or what we say the wedding days, this year were by far less than what it was in the last year quarter four. So that's the reason that this quarter four looks good, looks small, but it's a small business to our overall pie, and hence I don't think that that's a cause of concern. Point to point.
Alright. Thank you so much, and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind the participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Abneesh Roy from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Am I audible this time?
Yes, you're audible.
So, thanks. So you had a plan for house of brand strategy over a longer time frame. Could you update us on what the thought process there? Are you going a bit slow on that so that you can first understand on the evacuation what is the way forward? And on your own restaurant foray, if you could update FY26, what is the expansion plan there? Are you happy with the FY25 performance of the restaurant business?
So restaurant business, Abneesh, as we spoke about, say that we will get into that stuff. So yes, we opened one store in Rajasthan. That's the so-called QSR stuff in Sikar. Last quarter we did one. This year also we'll add about 4 to 5 outlets. That's the, and this is what we had called out. So therefore, in our growth plans, QSR is not really adding up, or we are not taking any, you know, large numbers on that account. Certainly for next year hereafter is what we'll call out on our QSR strategy. So that's how the plans are. Other than this, on the house of brands, if you look at, so THF, yes, it's doing good. So which is a retail brand, the aggressive plans they have falling well in place. That's where it is. Bhujia Lalji, which was a small acquisition, and that was clearly to play on the modern trade and on the e-com platform as a brand B strategy, that has also now is falling on place. But going forward, what our plans are, that we will not add, we'll try and consult, build even a larger brand. That's the strategy.
Sure. My second question is on the demand side. Most FMCG companies in Q4 call have said strong outlook, better outlook in FY26 versus FY25. You have delivered around 10% kind of volume growth in FY25. Of course, there is a aid of the 10% extra grammage which you are giving, especially in the first half. So if you marry the extra grammage which you are giving, which is there in the base, and softer food inflation and some of the other macro, good monsoon, lower interest rates, then how do you see your volume growth? Would you target a high single digit kind of volume growth in FY26?
No, so what we are looking at it is 12 to 13% kind of a volume growth in 26. And I think our strong plans in place, so what we say should happen. I mean, that's how we look at it.
But what has changed? Because I remember in Q3, most the FMCG companies, including you, they're saying the overall demand situation is quite challenging, and Q3 call was having a lot of questions on the real volume growth, X of the 10% grammage and all that kind of question. And now within one quarter, you have seen a good performance improvement, Q4 11% like-to-like standalone growth versus 6.5% previous. So it's a good performance, and now you're talking about 12 to 13% volume growth. So one, how confident are you? And second, is this more of a sector thing, or is this something you have really cracked as a winning market share, which is giving you the confidence in this?
So, Avnish, two things. Like, as you started off with quarter three, let me answer that. In quarter three, we witnessed that about 20% negative growth on Western snacks, volume growth I'm talking about, right? Now, Western snacks contribute to 8% to our business with a 20% negative growth, and we called it out that that's not a demand issue, that's purely a supply issue and a conscious call which we took, right? This quarter, again, we have bounced back with upwards of 20% growth in the Western category. That in itself, that's one. Second is that last quarter, the denominator or the earlier, the 10% extra scheme was also impacting our volume growth, which we tried and clarify that net of, if we look at revenue volume growth, it's upwards of 8.5% kind of worked out. So that's one on, I mean, quarter four over quarter three. Going forward, what we are saying is that this overnight, these growths will not come up the kind of, the positive momentum what we are seeing, the way, you know, the company's reason is projecting kind of a growth. So this would be our upward trajectory quarter one, quarter two, and thereafter. That's what it is at a holistic level. We are optimistic on a 12-13% volume growth.
So last week question on capacity expansion. You did say Popeyes growth was slightly constrained because of capacity being full. In FY26, any plans to add capacity in any of your verticals, either through third party or in-house?
So, in Popeyes, we doesn't need a major capex. It's largely a fully manual process. So, yeah, there is small plan to increase the capex, but it will not involve a major investment. But yeah, in Popeyes, we also taken a growth of close to 10-11% in this year.
And other verticals, anything you want to call out on capex?
On capex perspective, So we are investing in one big warehouse in Bikaner. So that investment will be close to 65 crore rupees, and it will be part of the WIP what we have filed in March 25. So that this mega big warehouse will come up in next 3.5-4 months. So this will solve logistical issue. Currently we don't have space to keep stock more than 2-2.5 days. So there's a lot of production issue keeping up. So that will solve the production issue. It will help in improving the filtration sales. So these are big investments coming up in this year. And there is no any other major capex addition. That's what we, it will be regular maintenance capex that will be coming up in this year.
So thanks. That's all for my time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit from HG Hawa. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my question was with respect to what is the ad spend as a percentage of revenue and how do you evaluate the ROI across campaigns?
Yeah. So, our ad spend, as we call, so well within budget, what we say is close to 2% is our ad budget. And this is what we park aside for the year to come as well. So that's the kind of number we are budgeting. Or maybe a little ahead of that. So the moot point is that yes, we believe in marketing investment and would continue to do that. ROI, when we speak about, so it's not as easy because there are lots of, overall umbrella branding, umbrella activity, what we do to help our entire business grow. So in the name of Bikaji, not brand specific. But yes, whatever we do, say, for example, the mega campaign what we did was on the BKLG, so which is Bikaji Kao London Jao. So we saw a huge upward increase in this our large pack, and that's what has helped large pack grow by far ahead of what the industry or the category growth or the pressure thing. That's one. Second is that our gifting, so which is season, which is gift packs and also the sweets. This is a huge number. Now, while selling in is one part, you also have to ensure that offtakes happen or complement the sell-in part. And to support that, there is again a huge media investment what we do across communication vehicles, and this is where we spend. And the proof of pudding is that, and how we look at it is that if we could generate offtakes, so there is least of leftover or nil leftover at our retail outlets is speaks about the success of the marketing investment, and this is how we look at
And the second question was connected to like modern trade and e-commerce. Like, what share of our revenue comes from these channels, and do you plan to expand them further?
Certainly, yes. So if you look at the last 3-4 years, modern trade has been, or both these channels, have been growing by far than the overall business or general trade to compare with. We would continue to invest in both these platforms and would be growing. So modern trade is almost 2.5x, 2x of the overall company growth. This e-com channel is even higher. So this is at about, has grown at almost about 50% last year. That's the kind of growth. And we see this continued momentum.
Can you give a number, any, like what percentage of revenue comes from these channels?
So about 8% comes from our modern trade channel, contributes to about 8%, and 2% is this Q-com e-com business.
But any plans to enter any adjacent FMCG categories like beverages or something like frozen snacks?
Not for now.
Thank you, sir, and all the best for the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Manish Poddar from Invesco Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks for being the call, and I hope things are good at Bikaji at Bikaner in the bigger scheme of things. So, just two questions. One is, in this pricing which you have taken, how would we stack against competition, let's say both unorganized and organized? Now, would they have followed a similar pattern? Just if you could give us a sense of that.
So, see, if we compare against organized players, so we are now, so this is one, when we say 4P stuff, the pricing is one of it. We cannot be, you know, very over-indexed or under-indexed. So this is almost hand-in-hand. But of course, when we speak about the local, regional, or say the unorganized small players, we never look at it, and they are always cheaper. So they are at about what, a 0.85 index to what we are. That's the kind of differential. And we are very mindful. So when we take any price increase, so it's not a random call or it's not in isolation. We do quite a study in terms of brand-wise, in terms of company-wise, geography-wise, and that's how we take price increase.
So would it be right that the, let's say, you're saying with the price index, but let's say unorganized players would have also taken a price increase alongside, or the
quantum, of course,
taken yes. The quantum which all takes in that ratio.
So with the commodity price increase, like if palm oil has moved up from 85 to say 140 or 125, so they also cannot survive. So they have also taken price increase. I'm saying the differential would continue.
Okay. And maybe if you can call out, let's say, how the second one is, what is the growth in Rajasthan for the full year? If you can help us with that. And
so Rajasthan full year is about 12%, close to 12% is the Rajasthan growth.
In volume terms?
Volume terms would be, it's about 8.5% kind of volume growth. 8 or 8.5 kind of. I can get back to you on this, but
okay. No worries. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sunil Shah from SRE PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question is slightly on the long-term basis. Say if you want to have a thought process for the next 3 to 5 years, and as a company, if we intend to grow at a 15% CAGR kind of a number, sir, A, the driver would be that we are increasing our distribution network, you know, that 3,11,000 will scale up to about 4.5 lakh over the next 3 years or so, 50,000 every year. So that is one thing that we are increasing the presence. The second is, once our presence is established, then we can keep on introducing new products over there. At the same time, we can, you know, increase the same store sales. How are we looking at this situation over a long-term point of view, in terms of, you know, distribution, in terms of new products, in terms of sales per store? Specifically in the context of, you know, competition, which is really there for us, and also the ability to have price rise in a scenario of increased raw material prices. So if you could give us some indication strategically from a 3-year point of view, or a slightly longer period is also good. Thanks, sir.
Sure. So see, when we say 15% growth kind of a number, The assumption is that about a high single digit number would the category grow. So that would be organic growth. We'll have to hold to that. And then we have to do a differential growth so as to gain market share. As we speak, we are less than 9% or say 8.5% market share. So there's a huge headroom where we don't aspire to be, say, to be healthy rams. But clearly, if we say that our aspiration is in next 3 to 5 years time, we should be at about 11.5 to 12% market share. That's the ambition. And this would we can achieve if we differentially grow to the category growth. Now, the growth drivers would, of course, be the distribution, so that's reach. And the second is the throughput increase. So in the core states where our market shares or our penetration is already high, there the task is to grow same store growth throughput. And in the so here if you look at say let's say if core state is or say Rajasthan is grown by 12%, so here the same store growth is 8% and 4% is the new store growth kind of a number. Whereas when we get into focus states, this is reverse. So it is more led by new store growth and not as much as the throughput growth. Now to complement our distribution or the route to market initiative is the role of marketing so as to create brand awareness, and which is what will help generating offtake, same store growth and all. That's what we are, that's the strategic call is. On in terms of new product introduction, new categories, that's what we are keeping out of scope when we speak about these the growth plans going ahead.
Right. Okay. So in FY25, you know, it's not been a year which has been very great that, you know, we can boast about it. Anything which was structurally important for us which will, you know, kind of deviate us from the 3-year thought process?
So, sorry, I missed on one of your the earlier question wherein, you know, you spoke about the pricing part as well. That, you know, so what happened, you know. So what happens is that, of course, last year, this was the second half wherein the inflation challenges came in. So this quarter three was a derailer, right? And this hit not only us, the overall FMCG industry or overall industry per se kind of worked out. I think the resilience what we as an organization showed is that still did best in the worst and bounced back in quarter four. We going forward, however, this category is highly dependent on the commodity prices. But I think the departure what we have already made is that we are not solely dependent on the commodity prices, the ability to react and ability to make predictions of what is coming our way is what I think we are much better prepared than what we were before. So that's the structural change what we have done and built in the organization. However, these are dynamic numbers that, you know, sometimes these commodity prices are by far beyond expectation. And that impacts us, but then I think that's the way this will move.
Sure. Fair enough, sir. Thank you so much and all the best for the future. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants may press star and one at this time to ask a question. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Niril Parekh from Avrika Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, I had a basic question since I'm new to the company. Pardon me for my ignorance. Given that the PLI income tapers over after 3 to 5 years, what are
Your voice is not clear.
Am I audible now?
Yeah.
Okay. So after the PLI income goes away and the manufacturing plants ramp up completely, from a 5-year perspective, what are the steady state margins that we should think about this company?
So this you are talking about after 5 years, right?
5 years, yeah.
So So basically, we got.
Hello, sir, are you there?
Yeah, so we got PLI till FY27, and currently, so we invested in all the plants where we are giving minimum guarantee. There is big cost running plant at lower capacity, and all the outside plant, new plant are running at lower capacity. So of course, PLI will phase in next 2 years, but our capacity utilization will increase significantly in next 3-4 years. And this will offset PLI income, and what we think that our steady EBITDA after 4-5 years should be around 15%.
Okay, and is that driven by any product mix?
Of course, so this will be, it will be driven by multiple things, be it investing in branding, so it will help in commanding price from consumer number one. Number two, of course, product mix is an important thing, because we are already focusing on few products which are having high in gross margin. Currently contributing close to 15-16%, target is to take this to 18-19% in next 2-3 years. Investing in cost selling program within the organization at each level, be it production, logistics, or building strong trade team system. So getting proper ROI of each investment, what we do, be it in sales or everywhere. So there are multiple things going on as an organization, which will help us in driving this 15% target.
Got it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin from NK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up opportunity. I just wanted to check, like, the Rajasthan market has grown 12%. So how has been the growth in other core market like Bihar and Assam?
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go
ahead. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. You are.
Yeah.
Please go ahead.
Yeah. So it's, you know, Rajasthan followed by Assam and then Bihar. So that's how is the growth stuff.
Okay. Thank you. And second question is with respect to, at the start of the call, Rishabh ji has highlighted lots of connection internally. So, can you please help us, like, the key initiatives we have taken internally, like, apart from we have deliberated on SAP implementation and Darwin Box and all, and M&As?
So, I would rephrase that correction. I mean, I think the right way to put it is that keep the improvement. So it would be a consistent improvement or improving over our what we're doing. So, let's say, for example, ERP. So we were at Microsoft 365 is the ERP which we have been using. What we felt and, you know, studied that now having SAP would help our increase our efficiencies, link all functions better and all. So that's the improvement or an investment we decided to do. That's one. Right now the distributor, so this would always be a dynamic stuff that how do you upgrade and the distributors. So as you grow business, the certain distributors, you find that now their ability to invest in business, financial, or maybe in terms of their bandwidth of the increased business. Not. So then you have to take certain tough calls and say that now we'll have to part ways with few of them. So those are the kind of, you know, improvement in our distribution network. Talking about people, right? So doing P by P, so performance to potential metrics. So there's always a tail which you will have to cut and see that how do you improve overall capability standards in that stuff. So those are the stuff. So now talking on HR, and you also touched upon the Darwin Box, right, got deployed. So earlier the PMS what we were using, we felt that now this would be, as the size of organization is growing, as the people number is growing, we need to have it even a better version of it. And that's where the investment on Darwin Box. So that's how, you know, the improvements over years is what's happening.
Thank you. And the last bookkeeping question on this employee cost increase for this quarter. Any specific reason for this?
So if you see at a standalone level, there are some grouping of which was passed last year in other expense. This has been an employee cost, so it was corrected. It was done in this year. And overall, the employee cost, if we exclude this, is close to 16% increase in employee cost.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for answering all the questions. The last sort of a suggestion or sort of a help we need in terms of going ahead with the M&As in the business. So it's getting a bit complicated. If you can sort of help us provide a disclosure separating the organic business and the M&As, that would be really helpful. Thank you.
Sure, thanks for the suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you once again for being on the call. Hopefully, we could answer your questions, and we would appreciate to take any question which is left out, and one of you or any of you can reach out to Prateek for these questions, and we'll get back to you on that. Thanks once again.
Thank you. On behalf of Bikaji Food International, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.